Holy Spirit, would you come and would you move right now on every single person in this room? Come. Come, living God. Have your way with us. Awaken us in you, Lord. Awaken us in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, happy Resurrection Sunday. I know Tim got to say it, but now, hey, happy Resurrection Sunday. Happy Easter. This is a great, great day and a great celebration. I got to say, y'all are looking really good out there. Y'all are looking good. This is Easter, but why is this so important? I mean, we get so much focus on this day, on this weekend, on all of the events of Easter. We say Easter. Velvet and I had a little date time yesterday morning, and we just were Gilbertonians. I mean, we went to the Gilbert Farmers Market, and we were going around town, and we ran into so many friends as we were going around town, and everywhere we went, it didn't matter. I mean, secular places, people at the checkout counter that you never would have thought, they're like, Happy Easter, Happy Easter, Happy Easter. What's it all about? Why is this so important? Why is the world even talking about Easter right now? And what's the really the real story behind this celebration? I think that too often we miss out on the wonder and on the depth and on the amazing love that God showed us on Easter. What are we celebrating? What's it all about? You know, when we think of Easter, we typically picture bunnies and eggs and flowers, and that's all. Man, that's fun. Isn't that pretty? Isn't that cool, that little bunny? We typically think of those. Those things are definitely big-time promoted out there in the world today, and it can be a lot of fun. I saw some people doing resurrection eggs and painting eggs and doing all this kind of stuff, and some of them were incredible. One of them was Olaf. I saw. I think the Gregersons did like an Olaf egg, and it was like perfect. It was unbelievable. It was cool. And so we think of Easter, we think of bunnies, and we think of eggs and flowers and baskets, and as Christians, we think of the cross. Oh, let us think of the cross. And we think of the empty tomb, the stone rolled away. But on this Resurrection Sunday, I want us to turn our attention to a cup. To a cup. To introduce what I believe the Lord wants to share with us and encourage us in this morning, we're going to turn our attention to the screens and we're going to watch this video. The title of our Easter message this morning is The Two Cups of Easter. The Two Cups of Easter. See, I don't want us to blow by the importance of Easter. It's so easy to do that. I don't want us to inadvertently cheapen or gloss over the work of Jesus Christ. I don't want us to miss the height, the width, the depth, the breadth of God's amazing love and what He has truly done for us and what it means for us. I don't want us to miss it. And we live in such a fast-paced, crazy world that it's just one thing to the next. Wisconsin beats Kentucky, great. We go to the finals, great. And then we get on to the next thing. It's baseball season, whatever. We have such short attention spans and we forget what's really important and what really matters. And I don't want us to do that on this Easter. I don't want us to be robbed of God's promises and His plan also for our lives of blessing and fulfillment. That's what He has for us. So what really happened on Easter? It matters. What is this all about? What really took place? How big of a deal is this anyway? It matters that we really look at that. So to answer these questions, we're going to look at three things. We're going to look at a problem, we're going to look at a solution, and we're going to look at a result. You see, here's the reality. Easter began with a problem. Easter began with a problem. Let's cut right to the chase. The problem is sin. It began with the problem of sin. You see, we were created by God to glorify Him and to enjoy Him now and forever. I mean, He created mankind. He put us in the Garden of Eden. He walked with us in the cool of the day, laughing, talking, dreaming, planning. Oh, we were created for that. But then sin came in. Messed it all up, didn't it? Created a big problem. It created separation between us and God. Sin robs us of our purpose and our calling. Sin destroys lives. It destroys families. It destroys even nations. Sin brings destruction. It brings hurt. It tricks us into accepting this less than kind of life that so often we get dragged into this, you know, just going through the motions and, oh, I mean, you wake up and it's just another day and you're just kind of trying to make it to the end of the day, hoping that you don't get beat up too much and hoping that you can wake up and maybe make it through another day. And that's not God's plan for our lives. That's not why we were created. That's not His dream for you. But sin, the problem, gets in there and every one of us has this problem. Every one of us is faced with this problem. It says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." All have sinned and fallen short. But God's desire for you and for me is not to fall short. That's the message of Easter. God wants us to remember that we were not created to fall short. We were not created for brokenness. We were not created for the mundane. We were not created just to drag our way through life and then die and okay, that's it. That's not it. Rather, it says in 2 Peter 3, verse 9, it says, "The Lord is patient with you, not wanting anyone." That's you. Are you anyone? You are. You're someone to God. Not wanting anyone to perish. Not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. You know what repentance is? It's thinking God's way, man. It's knowing who you are, why you were created, how much God loves you, and what His dreams and plans are for your life. It's thinking God's way about everything. And He wants us to think His way, because when we think His way, we live His way and we enjoy life His way and what He has for us. We weren't created for brokenness. But you see, Easter began with a problem, didn't it? Sin. That brought all of that. You know, I talk to people and they're like, you know, why is God, you know, let me do this? And why is all this stuff happening? And why am I experiencing all of this hurt? And God, why God did this? And why? No. God created you to love you. He created you for a plan and a purpose. And He created you to have life and that to the full. But there's a problem, and it's called sin. And so Easter begins with this problem, sin. And it's a big problem that has to be dealt with. I mean, it's the kind of problem that doesn't just get kind of kicked under and swept under the rug. See, God doesn't do things that way. God never does things halfway. He never just hides things. God doesn't hide things. Sometimes we do. We kind of hide. We think we can just kind of brush something away and not deal with it, and we hope, la, 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 I don't see it, I don't hear it. God doesn't deal with things that way. And so this problem that we have called sin, God says, I'm going to deal with it. And I'm going to deal with it by pouring out my wrath on it. By releasing my wrath on sin and all who practice sin. That's how God deals with it in His love. And because He's just, He's going to deal with sin. He's not going to let it continue, and he's not just going to blow it off. He's going to deal with it, and he's going to deal with it perfectly and completely. Here's some more insight into this problem. We're getting to the solution. Come on, it's Easter, all right? Sunday's coming, Sunday's here, you know what I'm saying? But more insight into the problem, because let's be real about this. We got to understand, if you get a gift, you got to sometimes know what it costs. Some people get a gift and, you know, I know of kids, they'll get a brand new iPhone 6 and they won't even understand the value of it. They won't appreciate it. Next thing you know, they lose it. Whatever. I'm just talking. Not my kids. They haven't done that. Praise God. They haven't gotten a brand new iPhone 6 either. So, you know what I'm saying? I want us to understand. I just feel like the Lord is saying, I want you to really get. I want you to get it. I want you to understand how much I love you. And what I really have for you and what I've done for you. Because I love you. See, more insight in this problem is found in Romans 6:23, where it says, for the wages of sin, see the problem of Easter, the problem, the wages of sin is death. I mean, that's where this all goes. And the Apostle Paul's not just talking to the Romans here about physical death, although that's part of it. You think, well, everybody dies. Yeah, yeah. But he's also talking about spiritual death. The wages or the penalty of sin is spiritual death, meaning separation from God, separation from the purpose of why we were even created, to enjoy God, to know Him, to be with Him forever. And ultimately, the wages of sin, the penalty of sin is hell, eternal separation. So it's a big deal to God. And so God's like, I'm going to deal with this. I'm going to deal with it completely and wholly. We're going to take care of this. It continues, though, in Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death, but then God shows us the solution right there. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. I just want us to look really quick at this. There's a big problem, right? That has a big time result. But a big God, full of big love, offers the big solution Himself to the problem. He doesn't say, okay, people, figure it out. Dig your way out of this thing. Good luck. He doesn't do that. Easter demonstrates this truth, that God solves the problem by offering us a gift. So we have a problem. Easter began with a problem. The problem is sin. But Easter continues with a solution. Amen? Let's look at this. It continues with a God-sized, amazing solution. On Easter, God solved the problem. You see, motivated by love, driven by love, God offers this incredible solution to mankind. It says this in Romans 5, verses 8 through 11. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, while we were still part of the problem, while we were still just getting swallowed up by the problem, even contributing to the problem, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He gave us the solution. He didn't say, after these horrible people cleaned themselves up, then I gave them this little gift. No. He says, but while we were still sinners, swallowed up in this problem of sin, Christ died for us. Since we've now been justified by His blood, Jesus' blood that was spilled on Good Friday at the cross. How many of you were there on Good Friday when we were celebrating in the park? It was an incredible time. I just want to give you a testimony already, that in that, we're already hearing about people coming to Christ, people coming out of darkness into the marvelous light, people coming out of being swallowed up by this problem and finding new life in Christ Jesus. We're already getting testimonies. My wife, Velvet, got to minister to a young lady who came forward at the end of the service and responded to Jesus Christ and His free gift of new life. And she's come out of darkness into the marvelous light. This is what we're talking about. There's a solution. His name is Jesus. And God, driven by love, gave this solution. Jesus' blood was spilled on Good Friday to justify us. How much more then shall we be saved from God's wrath through Him if He did this for us? Verse 10. For if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. You see, there was a big problem, sin. The wrath of God being poured out on it. We saw that and witnessed that even in the video. We were reminded of that. That cup of wrath. But the problem has been dealt with. And Easter reminds us of that. The price has been paid. And on Resurrection Sunday, the deal was closed. You see, Jesus is the solution. Do you know that? Jesus is the solution. It says in John 3:16, for God did what? He so loved the world that he did what? He gave. He gave his only son, Jesus Christ, that whoever would believe in him, just receive him, accept him, would have eternal life. Would come out of that place of hurt and pain and have eternal life in him. And then it continues in verse 17. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but what? To save the world through him. It's a picture of the solution that we received on Easter. It's a glorious thing. For God so loved the world. He so loved you. He so loved you that Jesus drank the cup of wrath so that you don't have to. That's the Easter message. God loves you so much. Check this out. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he had this discussion with his Heavenly Father. It's found in Luke 22, verses 42 through 44. I want you, let's grasp the love of God here. I want everybody to encounter the love of God in this. This is on the night that Jesus was to be betrayed. He went and he started praying. He started talking to his Heavenly Father. See, Jesus understood what was about to happen. And so he's talking to his Heavenly Father. And he says, Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me. What cup is he talking about? He's talking about that first cup of Easter. That cup of wrath. We watch the video, we understand about that right now. The cup of wrath of God that needs to come down and deal with sin. And Jesus is talking about that cup and he's praying to his Heavenly Father. He understands what's about to happen. He says, hey, Heavenly Father, if you are willing, if it's possible, would you take this cup from me? Yet, not my will, but yours be done. It says in verse 43 that an angel from heaven appeared to him, appeared to Jesus, and began to strengthen him. And being in anguish, this is Jesus. Jesus in anguish. You don't think of Jesus in anguish that often, do you? You don't think of Jesus in emotional pain and dealing with extreme emotions that often, do you? But on this night, Jesus, in anguish, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat, Jesus' sweat, was like drops of blood falling to the ground. Jesus knew what was about to happen. Jesus is about to drink the cup of God's wrath. I mean, we're talking about all hell is distilled in this cup. All hell. The sins of all man. From all time. For all time. In this cup. Jesus is about to drink those. About to take those upon himself. And he's in anguish. Oh, Heavenly Father. I understand the plan. But if it can be changed, can you change it? For Jesus, the cup is the cross. The cross, where he was about to die. But it was at this cross where Jesus unveils the solution as we witness something quite extraordinary happen. See, we're all in line. There's the cup right here of wrath, right? And there's this line of people. All of them sinners, for all have sinned. For all of us have sinned and fallen short. And we're standing in line. And we're walking to that cup to drink the wrath of God, the penalty of our sins. It's time for us to go drink of that cup, but something extraordinary happens on Easter. Jesus comes over and he cuts in line. He says, excuse me. And I believe everybody in line was like, no problem. No problem. It wasn't like, you're at Chick-fil-A, somebody cuts in line, you're like, wait a minute, dude, that's my chicken. No. I mean, we're talking about Jesus coming, cutting in front of humanity, between humanity and the cup of wrath. He cuts in line and he takes the cup and he drinks it. The solution, the love of God. The problem is solved. Easter. See, we don't deserve the cup of blessing. We don't deserve the cup of forgiveness. We really don't. You can think, man, I had a pretty good week. I did a pretty good job, right? We don't deserve it, man. You know it. We don't deserve it. What we deserve that cup of wrath right there. We deserve death. We deserve the penalty. We deserve it. But God has a different plan for us. He has a different plan for you. He doesn't want you to have to drink that cup. God decided to do something amazing. He decided to cut in line in front of you, in front of me, and take that cup. You see, this is sometimes what we think. We think, well, couldn't have there been a different way? No. God had to deal with sin. Somebody's going to drink the cup of wrath. There was no way around that. But God decided in His love to be the solution. He cut in line in front of you because He loves you. He took the wrath. He took the pain. He took the separation. He took on the sin because He loves you. If He didn't cut in line, somebody was going to drink it. In the Garden of Gethsemane, the prospect is clear. Either Jesus goes to hell or we do. That's what Jesus is processing. Look, either I go to hell or all humanity does. And after wrestling with it in prayer for an hour or so, he arises with the fresh resolve and he says, Father, let it be me. Let me take Eric's sin. Let me drink that cup instead of him. Put your name in that. Let me drink that cup instead of you. It's a wonderful exchange. It's God's solution. His Son takes hell so that we get heaven. His Son takes the curses so we get the blessings. Jesus, the innocent one, takes death while we receive life. Jesus takes wrath. We receive forgiveness. This is Easter. This is Easter. This is what it's all about. This is why we'll find ourselves dancing and yelling and screaming and waking up happy on that Easter Sunday morning. This is why. Not just because we get to go have prime rib with the relatives. It's not just because we're going to have a picnic in the park. It's not just because it's an amazingly beautiful day outside. We awaken on Easter, and I pray that we awaken every single day in this reality that Jesus cut in line in front of me today. He has cut in line and He's taken the wrath of God. He's taken the pain. He's taken the punishment for me. And I don't have to. And I can live a new life now alive in Him. I get to live today and I get to experience the goodness of God today because of Easter. Because Jesus took it. He took it. Easter reminds us that Jesus was, He is, and always will be our solution. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And for those who embrace this truth of Jesus being our solution, for those of us who allow Jesus to cut in line, you know, how many of you... I'm just thinking about this. Okay, so yesterday we were at Trader Joe's after the farmer's market, and we were there in line, and... Oh man, I'm being convicted. Oh God, help me. Woo! And so we're in line, and we have our big cart of food, you know, because we got a big family, and everything's in there, and we have it up there, and we're standing back a little bit, and this lady comes with a little basket of some stuff, and she just kind of walks up there and puts it in the little basket place and stands there. And we're like behind her now with our cart right there, and I'm going, honey, just let her know that we're already here. That's our cart and all of that. And Velvet, of course, being the saint that she is, and she is, as all of us are in Christ Jesus, she's like, oh, honey, it's okay. And I'm like, no, just let her know that's our card. Everything's going to be... So I pushed her into letting her know it's our card. She, oh, I'm sorry. So we didn't let her cut in line. Anyway. Oh! She figured it out on her own. You didn't have to tell her, praise God. I didn't pressure my wife into doing that. Oh, Lord. But the point is this. Is sometimes we get so frustrated when people are cutting in line and we want to control our circumstances. We want to be in control of our lives. I'm here to tell you right now, let God be your solution today. Let Him cut in line in front of you today. Let Him take the penalty of your sin. Let Him take death for you and receive from Him today new life. Receive from Him new life. You see, every one of us who lets Jesus cut in line, every one of us who says, yes, you are God. You take that place. You're the front. You're it. You lead my life. You take it. Every one of us who does that, we get to experience the results of Easter. You see, the problem of Easter, it began with the problem of sin. But then there was the solution, Jesus Christ coming, taking the cup of wrath and drinking it for you and for me so that we don't have to. He cut in line in front of you. And the result for all of us who allow Him to do that for us, is this. It's beautiful. Just before Jesus was taken to be crucified, understanding that the wrath of God He was about ready to take upon Himself at the cross, He gathered His disciples. Who are His disciples? Those who followed Him. Those who walked behind Him, letting Him already cut in line in their lives. You know what I'm saying? Those who believed and loved Him, who were following Him. He gathered those disciples. He had this prophetic declaration and picture that He presented to those disciples. And here's how it goes. It's found in Matthew 26, verses 27 and 28. So He's got His disciples there. He's sitting down. It says that then Jesus took the cup. Okay, He took a cup. And it says that He gave thanks. And then He offered it to His disciples, those who allowed Him to cut in line, those who were following Him. He offered it to His disciples. And He said this to them. He said, drink from this, all of you. Drink from this cup. Notice, not this cup, but this cup. He said, drink from this cup. And now I hope we understand, these cups are really just pictures that God is giving us. Anyway, He said, drink from this cup. All of you. And then He said something interesting to them. Again, this was prophetic. He said, this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Jesus, at this gathering with His disciples, is introducing a whole nother cup. You see, He had just been wrestling with this cup of wrath. He knew He was cutting a line to drink the cup of wrath. But now He introduces a new cup to His followers. And He's offering them this cup, and He's inviting them to drink from this new cup. And it says in Luke 22:20 that this cup is the new covenant in my blood, is what Jesus said. This cup, this new cup that Jesus offers us, that only comes from Jesus, and only is given to those who allow Jesus to cut in line in front of them and become the leader of their lives, the Lord of their lives. Jesus has a cup, and He's offering it. And He says, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. It's for you. For you. Larry Stockstill says this. He stated that God's covenant usually comes down to a meal, to a cup that seals and guarantees all of his covenant promises. This cup was the guarantee of the new covenant that Jesus served his disciples. And now I want to say that in the new covenant of Christ Jesus, every single one of the promises of God are delivered to those who believe. You remember what it said? It is finished. It's complete. It is done. Here's a new covenant. Larry Stockstill continues, and he says this, that the cup of the Lord is actually four separate cups, each of which promises freedom, deliverance, purpose, and fulfillment. Remember the four cups of the Passover that were presented in the video that we just watched. I want us to look at those. These actually represent four different promises that are found in the book of Exodus, chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. These four promises are represented in the Jewish Passover in their Seder meal by four cups for them to remember these promises of God that are for the people of God. And if we are in Christ Jesus, we are the people of God who have now, I'm going to put this over here, who have now the new covenant and all the promises that go with this. And so what I would like to do is just very quickly run through these four promises to give us an understanding of the result of what we have now in Christ Jesus in the new covenant for all who believe, for all who have allowed Jesus to cut in line and lead their lives. We have the cup of sanctification. That's a fancy word, right? The cup of sanctification. Exodus 6, verse 6. I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. That's the promise of God to the people of God. It's a reminder of being set apart as special and holy to God. You see, when we allow Jesus to cut in line, drink the cup of wrath, and then to give us the cup of the new covenant, we become set apart in Christ Jesus. Set apart to God once again. Not set apart for sin and for what the world has for us, but now we're set apart for everything that God has for us. Holy and given to Him and special to God. Then we have the cup of deliverance, the second cup of that Seder meal. And it's that promise representing the second cup of deliverance here is in Exodus 6:6 also. And it says, I will free you from being slaves. It's a reminder that the reality of being in Christ Jesus, that we've been set free from sin. We've been set free from everything that enslaves us, that holds us back, that pulls us down, that beats us up, that walks all over us. How many in this room, you don't have to raise your hands, because every one of us can raise our hands. How many of us have been enslaved by something in our lives? Something else has been messing with us, controlling us, keeping us down, just confusing us. In the new covenant, we've been set free. And who the Son sets free, Jesus Christ, is free indeed. I mean, really free. That's one of the results of Easter for us who drink of the cup of the new covenant. The third is the cup of redemption. In Exodus 6:6, I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. It's a reminder that we're redeemed. That those of us who receive Christ Jesus and receive the new covenant in Christ Jesus, the cup of the new covenant in Christ Jesus, that we're redeemed from being objects of wrath. No longer objects of wrath because Christ Jesus cut in line in front of me, right? And he drank that cup of wrath. We're no longer objects of wrath. We're no longer bound for hell and for destruction, but God has restored us. And check this out. He's redeemed us to our original design, purpose, and calling in life. Again, I could ask, how many of you have felt like you don't really know why you're here or what life is all about? Everyone could raise their hands because at one point in our lives, we've been there. When we drink of the cup of the new covenant in Christ Jesus, when we allow Him to cut in line in front of us and be the leader of our lives from this day forth, you know what? Redemption comes. And we come back into alignment and understanding of why we're here. To glorify God and enjoy Him. And I tell you what, there's nothing like enjoying God. If you long for enjoyment, let God cut in line in your life. And you'll experience it. True purpose and calling. The cup of redemption. And finally, the cup of restoration in Exodus 6:7. I will take you as my own people and I will be your God. It's a reminder that our fellowship with God has been restored. We're now members of God's family. We belong to Him. We are His children. Why? because of Jesus. Because we are brought and adopted into the family of God through Christ Jesus. Because again, I'm going to go back to it. We've allowed Him to cut in line, to lead us. We've allowed Him to take the cup of wrath. And we've received from Him the cup of new life. The cup of restoration. The cup of restored fellowship with God. Many people feel lost. They feel abandoned. They feel like they're orphans in this world. We have within us a desire, a heartfelt, deep desire to belong. And it's a heartfelt, deep desire not just to belong to some club or to some clique. It's a desire to once again belong to God and His family. And when we drink of the cup of the new covenant in Christ Jesus, you know what? Restoration. We belong to the family of God as sons and daughters, heirs and co-heirs. It's beautiful. Easter, what's it all about? In many ways, again, it's about these two cups. The cup of wrath and the cup of new life in the new covenant in Christ Jesus. God is offering you and inviting us right now, everyone in this room, just like He did that woman at the well. He's saying, hey, I've got something for you to drink that will bring life now and forever. God is offering us the cup of life, the cup of new covenant. He is voluntarily right now saying, let me cut in line. I just want you to just focus on that. Just even bow your head right now. Understand this, that the God of the universe is saying, let me cut in line in front of you. Let me take the cup of wrath. I've already paid the price. It is finished. Receive it. Let me cut in line. And He's offering to everyone in this room to drink from the cup of life, from the cup of blessing, from the cup of fulfillment, from the cup of the new covenant that is in Him. He wants everybody in this room to experience life into the full. He wants everybody in this room to know that you are loved, to belong to His family. He wants everybody in this room to understand your calling, your purpose. He wants you to dream His dreams for your life. He wants you to know His dreams. He wants you to experience His dreams for your life, not just today, but for all eternity. As the band comes up, we're going to close. But it isn't finished. During this song, I want to invite you to come and to receive new life. If you feel like you've been drinking from every cup except the cup of life, on this Easter Sunday, your Creator, your Heavenly Father, is offering you a new cup, a new way, a new life to begin today and to last for all eternity. I just want to invite the ministry team to come forward. And I want to invite you to come forward during this song while they're singing. If you're ready to drink from the cup that God has for you, from the cup of new life, if you're ready to allow Jesus to cut in front of you and to lead you now and forever. If you're ready for everything to change in your life from today and for all eternity, then during this next song, I just invite you to come and to share that with some of the folks up here. Just share that with them. Let them know. But I also want to open this up to others here that maybe have had a drink from the cup of new life. Maybe you've known Jesus as your Lord and Savior. But man, in this past season of life, I don't know, it could be weeks, months, years. You feel like, man, you haven't had a drink from the cup of life in a long time. And you're ready to come back. Maybe you've been running away to other things. And it's been painful. you've been experiencing anything but life. God's inviting you to come, take a fresh drink today. Don't walk out of here back into the same old, same old. Drink from the cup of life. Drink anew. And also during this next song, I just want to encourage everyone that maybe you're walking with the Lord, but you just feel like your life is dry right now. You need a refreshing. Jesus said He came to give life and that to the full. He is a God of peace and of joy. He's the God of refreshing. He's the God of new life. And if you need a touch from the Lord today, if you need your life to once again to be refreshed, I invite you to come forward. We're going to have several of us. I want to invite a few other ministers to come forward here. We just want to pray with you and pray for you. And so let's everybody stand up and we can all engage in this song together. And while we're singing, come. Don't let this Easter just be one that comes and goes and everything stays the same. Let this be a moment in your life where you drink from the cup that God has for you. Amen. He's alive and He wants you to be alive. Let's come.